John Song, Chapter 23, being read by Peter John Parise, who is also known as Brian Dean. None of my audios are copyrighted. Please feel free to make as many copies as you desire. Life of No Account, 1940 to 1944. That weak body had for 15 years been worked to the limit of its strength. With the apostle, John Song must often have said, quote, "I count not my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God," unquote. That course was almost run. The allotted 15 years had nearly expired. In John's last meeting in Surabaya, he had to preach in a kneeling position to lessen the pain in his hip. On his return to Shanghai early in 1940, the pain became most continuous, and Miss Koa Kea, S-H-U-C-H-E-N, who often used to visit him, remembers how he frequently groaned with the pain. On a Sunday morning, he used to gather some close friends with him in his house and preach to them, chiefly about the Lord's work. After preaching an hour or more, he would pray. So long as he was praying or preaching, he was unconscious of pain. But as soon as he stopped, the pain returned. He told people that this was the Lord's discipline for his bad temper. And indeed, it was noticeable how his disposition seemed to change at this time. Instead of being apparently morose and uncommunicative, he used to hold a normal conversation with people. And he observed more closely some of the proverbial Chinese courtesies. His guests, he would ceremoniously escort to the door, for instance. And once, when he had guests for dinner from a certain district in Fulton, he called out to his wife, who, observing normal etiquette, returned to the kitchen to come and serve the guests with an extra pair of chopsticks. This was a local custom which he had remembered and took the trouble to observe. And shortly before he left Shanghai for Peking, he was entertaining these same friends and called his wife to prepare some noodles and quicks and eggs quickly. This is the food which locally had always given to those about to go on a long journey. Such thoughtfulness made a deep impression on the visitors, who had not learned to expect such consideration from Dr. Sun. The daily routine was unchanged. 11 chapters of the Bible read daily, and much time given to earnest, exhausting prayer. His diary still took up much of his time. Often he wrote it himself, but there were times when his strength was not enough and he got his brother to do the writing. And when he found his brother too slow a writer, he invited one of his students at the China Bible Seminary to write for him. She was an Amoy girl and wrote fast, and used to go over to take dictations from Dr. Sun daily. There was one last appearance in Shanghai in one of the large churches. The announcement that Dr. Sun would preach brought crowds from all over the city. "There was a terrible crush," said one who was present, "and I could hardly hear him. At the start, everyone was talking. He came in and walked to the table, banged on it with his fist, asking loudly whether this was a theater or a religious service. Dead silence fell. His message that day was based on 1 Thessalonians 5:2. The Lord so cometh as the thief in the night. His pain and weakness increased, and after he was taken ill on November 15th, his doctor advised him to go immediately to the Peking Union Medical College. The PUMC was China's most famous medical institution and owed much to the Rockefeller millions. It was clear that an operation was overdue. The patient had delayed again and again, but at last, on December 4th, Dr. Sung left for Peking, leaving his wife and family in Shanghai. To his old friend, Mrs. Lucille Jones, who was seeing him for the last time, John said, I have prayed for others. Now others must pray for me. In Peking, it was confirmed that he was suffering from cancer as well as tuberculosis. A first operation was performed on December 14th and a second on January 28th, 1941. 6 months in the PUMC followed. Another patient in the hospital was the son of Mr. and Mrs. C.J. Glittenberg of the China Inland Mission, who had brought the boy up from South China for surgical treatment. One day, Mr. Wang Mingtao, the pastor of the Christian Tabernacle, was visiting both parents and introduced Mr. and Mrs. Glittenberg to Dr. Sung. After that, many chats were held in the Sung parlor of the hospital during Dr. Sung's convalescence from his operations. Dr. Sung spoke frankly of his own stubbornness and ill humor and expressed his belief that it was for this that the Lord was disciplining him. Familiar with the many stories of his strange personality, Mr. Glittenberg was surprised to find one so chastened and meek. Medically, the operations came 6 months too late. Dr. Sung had refused earlier advice to have an operation on the grounds that he could not leave his work. The present treatment seemed to be successful, however, and on July 7th, he was discharged and went out to the Western Hills, or the Hills of Fragrance, as the Chinese know them, to continue his convalescence. On July 18th, Dr. Sung received the news that his only living son, Joshua, had died in Shanghai. This seemed a cruel blow at such a time. But John knew his Lord too well to be offended in his ways. He found absolute comfort in the scriptures and renewed his spirit as well as his strength. Amid the quietness of the surrounding hills and the changing beauty of the seasons, Mrs. Sung and the three girls joined Dr. Sung in the Western Hills on August 26th, and they set up a new home there. As health slowly returned, John resumed a measure of work. Daily Bible classes and meetings were conducted in the home. He continued to pray and to study the Bible with the old intensity. He wrote 15 new hymns and 19 open letters to church and evangelistic league leaders in China, and in the NANYANG, urging them to pray for revival. By the autumn, his health seemed to some degree restored, and he was taking long walks over the neighboring hills, making the round of the numerous temples and beauty spots. It was the season of the year when the red leaves drew the crowds out from the city to admire the brilliant autumn coloring of the hunting park of the former emperors. It was in 1941, too, that he composed his allegories, in which he wove a story around the various books of the Bible, an allegorical method of style. His professed purpose was to teach the main lesson of each book. He was by now steeped in the scriptures and had widely read books and commentaries about them, but he found little interest in the orthodox manner of teaching and expounding the scriptures. Every evening, the family and friends gathered together for worship, and it was then that these allegorical stories first came to light. He did not begin from the beginning of the Bible and go through it systematically, but chose the book which was specifically in his mind. In the introduction of the allegories, Mrs. Sung described how Dr. Sung had no clear outline in his mind when he started. He chose a book, then he prayed, and after that began, never knowing where he would end. He often said that it was like the wind of the Spirit which bloweth where it listeth. He claimed that the auguries were not mere invention, but were given to him by the Holy Spirit. These were carefully reported, and it was Dr. Song's hope that his three daughters would prepare them for publication. Many things delayed the work, and it was not until July 1951 that they were finally published. Mrs. Song bears witness to the passionate love her husband had for the Word of God, and she suggests that there is little wonder that the light he received from the Lord was different from that which others received. In view of the intense study of the Bible while in the hospital in America, the principal theme of the auguries was the church and the church worker, how to build up a church, how to lead a church on in the spiritual life, what kind of laborers God needs to gather in his harvest, the character and personal life of an evangelist. He urged that only those who were well versed in the scriptures and who had an experience of the crucified and risen life could meet the present day needs of the church and complete the eternal plan of God. All these themes were interspersed through the auguries, and the cross always holds the central place. See Appendix 1. During 1942, Dr. Song continued to conduct his informal Bible class or school known as the Hall of Grace. There were no regular students, but Christian workers who could afford the time came to stay for longer or shorter periods to sit at the feet of one whom tens of thousands had learned to love and respect. There was frequent fellowship with Mr. Wang Ming-To, who continued his uncompromising witness in Japanese-occupied Peking, and the pastor David Yang, who had moved his team of Christian workers from Shaanxi to Peking. The winter passed with its bitter colds and brilliant sunshine, but John Sung's disease steadily gained the upper hand. Since he had been in Peking, Germany had attacked Russia, and Japan Pearl Harbor, bringing the United States and Great Britain into the Pacific conflict. One by one, the countries visited by Dr. Song became involved in war. Hong Kong, Singapore, Indochina, Thailand, Malaya, the Philippines, and the Netherlands East Indies. The burden of prayer for the suffering churches and Christians weighed heavily upon the man who was already in the habit of bearing them on his heart. On March 27, 1943, a third operation was performed in Tennyson. 3 months later, he was taken back to the Western Hills. But John Song's days of active service were over. The 15 years since his spiritual crisis in America had elapsed. The 7 years foreseen at the time of his father's death were completed. And the son had no reason to regret that he had not preached the gospel with every ounce of his strength and every minute of his time. Now he could no longer lead meetings. Yet in his weakness, he was visited by a constant stream of visitors from far and near. He prayed with each one and encouraged them to go on with the Lord. Many lives were blessed through these contacts. In June 1944, there was a turn for the worse. And this time the family took the patient to the German hospital in Peking, where yet another operation was performed in the 12th. Devoted German sisters gave the patient the most loving care, and there too John was visited by frequent visitors. One of them was the Reverend John, spelled K-U, a converted film actor who was conducting a mission in Peking. Due to war, he had been separated from his wife and family for a long time. He had recently been expecting to be united with them when the tragic news reached him that the ship on which they were traveling from Shanghai had been sunk with a loss of all on board. Crushed and broken-hearted, he felt that he could never preach again. Then he thought of Dr. Sun dying of cancer in hospital and suffering such pain that at times he could not endure his bed and had to be raised off the bed in a large sheet suspended from the ceiling to gain any relief. John K.U. decided to call on John Song and to unburden his breaking heart. After listening to this story, Chung Sung said softly to the other John, "We could sing a duet, couldn't we?" John was horrified. Sing a duet? How could he ever sing again? And what could Dr. Sung sing? "We could sing the song of Job," was the calm reply. "You sing the first chapter, and I'll sing the second." On July 1st, John Sung returned to the Western Hills to spend his last days on earth with his family. In spite of increasing weakness and constant pain, he continued to spend most of his time in prayer and reading the scriptures. He dedicated to two devoted friends the results of his daily meditation in the Word of God and his reminiscence of the past. These two ladies, Miss Ping Ying Chin and Miss Lu Su Ching, were his daily companions in prayer, and those times of intercession are indelibly written in their memories. Their lives were immeasurably enriched by those last days of fellowship, and both became powerful influence for God among a generation of young people in the following years. Dr. Sung's last message for the church was almost prophetic. "The work of the future is to be the work of prayer." The work of the future is to be the work of prayer. The work of the future is to be the work of prayer. This slogan was taken up by the Christian students of Peking in the post-war years when they were faced with changing political conditions and great sufferings. It had inspired many to pray, whose active service in China is now curtailed. A letter from Peking written in 1954 and quoting the words of God's servant adds that miracles were still being wrought in answer to prayer. On the morning of August 16, 1944, John felt worse. He told his wife that God had shown him that he was going to die. That night, he fell into a coma. But the next day, rallied enough to sing verses of three hymns. "There's a land that is fairer than day. In the cross, be my glory ever. And Jesus is all the world to me." As the day wore on and the dying man seemed to pass from intense pain into a great glory and peace, close friends such as Mr. Wang Mingtao, as well as a doctor and a Christian nurse, were present. Mrs. Sung had prayed that her husband would not die at night. About midnight, his last words to his wife were, "Don't be afraid. The Lord Jesus is at the door. What is there to fear?" It was daybreak when at 7 a.m., on August 18th, at the age of 42, Chung Sung fell asleep. The circle of relatives and friends were quietly praying around the bed. Mr. Wang Mingtao quite naturally assumed responsibility for the funeral arrangements. At 5 o'clock on the same day, a service was held in the house, and then the body was lovingly placed in a casket of fragrant wood. Mr. Wang spoke briefly and appropriately on the words of Revelations 14, verse 13, quote, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them," unquote. The interment took place on August 22nd. Relatives from many churches were present, and a coachload of friends came from Tennyson to attend. There were also delegates from Chefu, Swato, Amoy, and Fuchao. Some 300 persons were present altogether. Mr. Wang Mingtao preached on Jeremiah 1:4-19. He emphasized that Junsong had been called, like Jeremiah, to rebuke the sins of the church and the society, and to be as an iron pillar, fearing no man and faithful unto death. A great man had passed from their midst. Leaders of various evangelistic bands, which he had inspired, carried the coffin, and hymns were sung all the way to the grave, which had been prepared in a quiet, tree-shadowed meadow, where John had loved to go for solitude and prayer.